it's a phony debate. Some people say the surge is responsible for everything. Other people say the awakening is responsible for everything. And this is mostly goes on the websites and blogs of people with ideological views or political perspectives of one kind or another. In reality, they both combined to produce the stability that we now have in Iraq. The surge reinforced the awakening. The awakening reinforced the surge. And that's really how things unfolded in Iraq. So while the awakening began a few months before the surge forces arrived, the arrival of those additional forces strengthened that awakening movement and enabled it to go beyond Anbar into other parts of Iraq. That's the story of what happened.
So when John McCain trumpets his role in persuading President Bush to implement this surge of forces in Iraq, as it was called, how much credit should Senator McCain take in getting that policy followed and adhered to?
Well, Senator McCain was definitely among the first in the Congress to criticize the administration for not sending sufficient forces to Iraq, and he did call for more forces at a time when the Bush administration was reluctant to send them. I covered a hearing in the fall of 2006 where Senator McCain gave a very hard time to General Abizaid, and Abizaid was taking the position we didn't need more troops, and McCain was arguing that we did. So it is fair to say that he called for the troops before the Bush administration decided to send them. But I also think that if Senator McCain hadn't taken that position, I think the Bush administration would have done this anyway. They didn't do this because of Senator McCain. I think they reached this conclusion on their own, however belatedly, they through their own kind of Iraq review, which I chronicled actually in last Sunday's New York Times. But they took a position that in the end was consistent with that was put forward by General Petraeus, General Odierno, his number two, some of the staff members on the National Security Council, but what was really not supported very actively by the Pentagon or the State Department.
Getting back to the campaign right now, as you know, Michael, Democrat Barack Obama says that it was the Sunni tribal leaders, these awakening councils, who fought the insurgents in Iraq. They themselves, he said, did more to bring stability to Iraq than the troop surge did. And John McCain takes the opposite position. Is there a right and wrong here?
Well, I don't want to take a position on the campaign, but I think that's a false dichotomy, that it was either the tribal elements or it was the surge. I think the surge reinforced the tribal awakening and encouraged it to spread. And I'll give you an example, which I saw with my own eyes. In June of 2006, I was an embedded correspondent for the American military operation that reclaimed Bakuba, the capital of Diyala province, from al-Qaeda of Mesopotamia, or al-Qaeda in Iraq. And the name of the operation was called Arrowhead Ripper. It was a big operation, and the city was not under, by no means, under American or Iraqi government control. And it was carried out when the last of the surge brigades finally arrived. Well, right in the Bakuba area in Baritz, there was a group of Sunnis that very much wanted to fight al-Qaeda and reclaim the town for themselves and to control their own area. But they were afraid of doing so until there were increased American forces in the area. And so when the increased American forces came in the spring and summer, they finally rose up to fight al-Qaeda. And now they're now among the so-called Sons of Iraq, as they now call these tribal members, or neighborhood watch groups who've been stood up and who have helped the United States and the Iraqi government reclaim Diyala province. And I saw the same thing happen south of Baghdad in an area called Arab Jabor. So the additional surge forces encouraged the tribal movement to spread and encouraged Iraqis in Diyala province and other areas of Iraq to rise up against al-Qaeda because they were simply afraid to do so until there were additional American forces in the area. Now, there's an important caveat here. The surge force is gone. We're now down to 15 combat brigades, which is the same number that existed prior to the surge. And the Maliki government is reasserting its sovereignty in Iraq. And a great deal will depend on whether the Maliki government deals with this tribal movement effectively, how many of them they integrate into the Iraqi forces, how many of them they find jobs, and whether they'll work with these largely Sunni groups constructively. And it's not clear the Maliki government is really going to do that. In fact, there's some indications that Prime Minister Maliki and his inner circle are still suspicious of these groups.
And as you say that the region is now down to pre-surge levels of troops, of U.S. troops, what are the signs, though, Michael, that you're seeing that the surge worked and that the stability may hold? I mean, it sounds like what you're saying right now is that there might be more convincing evidence that it won't hold.
Well, they're down to pre-surge levels in terms of combat brigades. In terms of actual number of troops, it's slightly higher because you always bring in support troops and logistics. I think from a purely military standpoint, the surge was very effective. And if you simply look at really the most important metric, which is civilian deaths, civilian casualties, because after all, the whole purpose of the surge was to afford greater protection to the Iraqi civilians, they're down substantially. So I think in that sense, the surge has been a success. Where we go from here, though, is unclear. And a lot needs to be done to build on these gains so that they're not forfeited. And what needs to be done now is largely in the political sphere, not the military sphere. It involves the holding of provincial elections, which are still not scheduled. So Sunnis and even Sadrists can feel enfranchised in the Iraqi political system. I mean, that's an important step that needs to be made. So there's a whole variety of political milestones that need to be accomplished so that Iraq becomes a more stable country.
Do you believe that the U.S. military, from those in the military with whom you speak, have learned from Iraq anything that can be transferred to any future conflict? Is there a take-home lesson for the military?
The military already knew a great deal about how to do counterinsurgency, but it rediscovered the art of counterinsurgency. While I take the view that the surge was a military success, I don't take the position that the war has, quote, been won. I think it's premature to say that because I think a lot more needs to be done in Iraq. And in fact, General Petraeus, if people listen to him carefully, he's also quite careful about what he says about Iraq's future and has taken the position that some of the gains are reversible. If it's not carried forward in a competent way by the Maliki government, that's the real issue. The real issue is, what do we do with these people now? And that's what General Petraeus, General Odierno, and the American ambassador in Baghdad go to bed at night worrying about, because that's really the important thing. And whoever becomes president, whether it's Senator McCain or Senator Obama, this is going to be one of the principal issues, Iraq issues, they're going to have to cope with.
All right, Michael Gordon, military correspondent for The New York Times. He is co-author of the book Cobra 2. Nice to speak with you again, Michael. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.